Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Aleph. And we're right at the top of the daf. We finished yesterday the machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rav Acha bar Yaakov, as to where do we know the din of a chazaka in the Torah. So the Rabbanan said we learned it out from Tzaras, and from the fact that it's possible for a Kohen to be Mazgir Abayit, relying on the status of the Nega as he walked out, even though he doesn't know that it hasn't changed. Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, well, you came up with this complicated case, which it's possible for a Kohen to know without being there and without relying on Chazak. Okay, the Chachamim were not very impressed with that argument. And so they continue to insist that we know the din of Chazaka from Tzaras, and Rav Acha bar Yaakov has to rely just on the Misera that we have, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, that there's a concept of Chazaka, and we've been looking for a place where it's expressed in the Torah. There's no question in anybody's mind that there's a din of a Chazaka, and that, as Tosfos points out, Rav Acha bar Yaakov continues to learn that basically only from the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Once we've dealt with the union of Chazaka, we'd like to discuss another very important din, which is the din of Rov. And this din of Rov has been central to a lot of the inyanim that we're speaking about, is continuing to be important to us. And we'd like to find out, Minaha Milsa de Omer Rabbanan, Zil Batar Ruba. So we've said Rov Mitzvah, Netzer Shechita, Mumchim, all that kind of stuff. Where does that come from? Minoma, how do you ask a question like that? I mean, it's a beferish of Pusik. There's nothing to discuss. It says in the Pusik Acharei Rabim Lahatot that when you have a machlokas in Sanhedrin, that what you do is you go according to the majority. So obviously a majority opinion is what it is that the Sanhedrin is saying, even though there's plenty of disagreement. Now, that means that, in general, we look at a rov. The same thing should be true in terms of all of the questions of how to determine a halacha. So if we learn, we determine the halacha from the rov of the Sanhedrin, we should determine the halacha and the rov chances in the events that we're looking at. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. We're talking about two completely different issues over here. I mean, you're talking about what is known as, and this is a Gabi terminology, it's known as aruba de'ita lekaman. Aruba de'ita kaman means that if we have an actual event in front of us, and now we're trying to determine what happened in this event. So that's the classic case, Teshachar New York. So we've got 9 stores that are selling kosher meat. We've got 1 store that's selling non-kosher meat. And we find a piece of meat in the street. And the question is, which store did it come from? That's called a ruba de'ita kaman. We have a specific case where we have to determine statistically what happened. But what about a ruba de'leta kaman? A ruba de'leta kaman, that is a rov that is a predictive statistic. It has nothing to do with what is going on in front of us. So we had that machlokas the whole time that we've been talking about Rabbi Meir, and that Rabbi Meir is chayesh miyuta. So remember, that was a simple prediction based on statistics. It has nothing to do with the particular case in front of us. And it's very much like the same idea of determining, you're going to try to tell me that it's all the same thing, but it isn't. Let's take a look at a situation in which you're making a bet, and that bet is based in your mind on what the statistical chances are, and that's how much you're going to place on the table. So now the question is, if you've already had the lands on 6, 10 times in a row, the one number that you're going to avoid placing a bet on is 6. But that's ridiculous because there's exactly amount chances of 6 coming up the next time as there was the previous time or the first time. And there's absolutely no reason to avoid the 6 because the series does not predict the future at all. And therefore, You cannot say that just because we have a particular case in front of us that that in some way affects the events that are going to come. But that was the whole business of the Rove that Rebbe Meir was talking about. What was the case? Remember, we have two kids, one of whom is a Yevama. Her husband died. She is still a Ketana. Or it could be that she's even a fully mature woman. And the brother of the husband, the deceased husband, is a child, and he's only 10 years old. And they start sleeping together as part of Yibum. So now the question is, but a 10-year-old isn't Chayev in Yibum. That's true, but since he will be Chayev in Yibum, and the Torah has defined this woman as not being an Erva to him, so why not just let them sleep together until he grows up? And at that point, he'll be able to be Mekayim his mitzvah, which is the shita, in fact, of the Rabbanan. But Rabbi Meir says, well, you can't let kids sleep together if they might be usser on each other. What do you mean usser? What's going to be the isser? Well, what if one of them turns out to be sterile? And if one of them is sterile, then there's no din of Yibum. So the Rabbanan say, but most children actually are not sterile, and they grow up and they become sexually mature. So that is a predictive rove. The case in front of us has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the general population. It's two particular children. So how in the world do we use a predictive rove to tell me that this child is undoubtedly not sterile? So where do we see that there's any right that you have to make statistical predictions? That's what we're asking on. So let's see that in the Gemara. Ruba de'ita kaman. Let's say the case of Teisha Chanuyot, or the case of Sanhedrin. We have a particular vote, and what part of the vote do we take as serious? The rove. We have a particular piece of meat, and it comes from particular stores, so we analyze the current statistics in front of us, and that, I understand, that that the Torah says, Beferish, Achrei Rabbin. Well, I'm asking, Eskika Miboilam, Ruba Delete, come on. I mean, you're telling me somebody shechted. Most people who shecht know what they're doing. What kind of crazy... The fact that most people know has nothing to do with this idiot in front of me. So why would I be able to be sermech on that kind of idea, which is something in between? So a Ruba Delete, come on. Kagon katan uktana. So how do we know that we can rely on the statistical rove that these children will become mature? Minola. Amar Rabbi Elazar, I'll tell you where we learned that out from. We learn it out from the fact that the Torah says specifically, when it comes to Korban Eila, that the Kohen is supposed to bring up et ha-rosh ve-et ha-poda. Remember that pasuk? So that means he's going to be carrying the head. Now, that head is a whole head, because you cannot cut open any part of the Eila that is meant to be brought as it is, because it says, V'nitach ota linetacheha, ota linetacheha means you cut the Eila itself into the various pieces that need to be brought up to the Mizbeach. One of those pieces is the Rosh, but lo netacheha linetachim, you can't cut up that piece into anything smaller. So if that's the case, I ask you, how could you possibly bring up an Rosh of an Eila to the Mizbeach? Have you checked the cranial membrane for any kind of tear or hole? Well, if there's a hole in the cranial membrane, that's one of the 18 trephas. And you may be bringing up a trepha to the Mizbeach. V'necho shem anikev krum shomayach. Why don't we have to be afraid that that membrane has a puncture hole in it? Apparently, we don't worry about that. Elala v'shem damrina zil bata ruba. Since basically, most animals don't have holes in their cranial membrane, why would we have to worry about it? So we're relying on a predictive rove. We're saying that most animals in the world, okay, so then that's just telling me that this must be a kosher animal. Well, I don't see how you can rely on that, Pusik. How do you know that you don't have to actually check the cranial membrane? What? I just told you how. You're not allowed to do any type of further operation, or in this case, butchering, on a head in order to open it up. Excuse me, that's not the only way to check for cranial membrane. I mean, after all, brain operations are done all the time on living people, and they're not necessarily done by completely sawing away the skull. You can actually cut through the skull, pull away the two halves of the skull from each other, exposing the cranial membrane, and checking it out. So maybe that's what's done. Dilma de Palaleubonicle. Maybe all you need to do is cut through and pull the sides away. And if you're telling me, but it says you're not allowed to do further butchering. This is not butchering. That would only be called if I actually cut it into two parts, but I'm not going to do that. Where it remains connected and I'm just pulling things open, that's not considered to be nitachel nitachim. So you can't bring a raya from the Rosh HaOlah because there is a way to check the Rosh HaOlah. Sorry, try it again. So Mar Barei de Ravina says, I got another suggestion. You're not allowed to break the bone in a Korban Pesach, right? The Omer Achmona ve'etzem lo tish berubo, do not break any bones in this Korban. Now, don't we have the same problem with the Korban Pesach? How are we going to check the cranial membrane? Because you were not allowed to even break open the bone. It doesn't say you can't separate it into two parts. It says you can't break the bone. So, v'necho shem anikev krum shomach, why not worry about the same cranial membrane and tell me maybe there's a hole? How could you possibly put that korban on the mizbeach? El alav mishum derin etzil bataruba. Apparently, it's because you don't have to worry about such a thing since you follow Rov of the Behemoth. And therefore, there should be no problem. Wait, again, I don't understand. There are ways of getting through bone without breaking it. Well, why can't you use a laser? Cut through the skull with a laser. That's not called breaking. And you're basically just burning your way through it. And then you could check the cranial membrane without breakage. So Dilma de Monach Gumarta Alei Vekolilei. Put a hot coal on it and burn your way through. And then Badikle. De Tanya, it says Beferish in the Braita that if you actually cut through Gidin or you burn your way through the Atzamot of a Korban Pesach, there's no iser there of Shvirat Etzem. So since it's possible to burn open the skull, you can check the cranial membrane. So this doesn't prove anything. Next, please. Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, okay, I got a good place. The Alya. So remember, you're supposed to be makriv the Alya Tamima when you have a korban shlomim, let's say that you're bringing from a keves. Okay? That's where the sugya appears initially. So it says, chelbo ha'alya tamima. That means you have to take the whole unruined, it has to be tamim, put it on the mizbeach, the fat tail. Now, the problem with that fat tail is that in removing it, you're also removing the lower vertebrae. And if you cut through the lower vertebrae, you're cutting through the spinal cord. And if you cut through the spinal cord, you're never going to be able to check it to make sure that there was no hole in the area that was inside of the those vertebrae that are still inside the Alya Tamima, because you're not allowed to ruin the Alya, beautiful Alya Tamima, to go check the spinal cord. So why don't you have to be afraid? Maybe the spinal cord was torn, and that would be another trefa. Must be, because most spinal cords are not torn. That is called a ruba de leta kamat. Elala mishum de amrina zil bata ruba. And maybe you'll tell me that, no, that's not akasha. Because remember, the spinal cord is defined in the halacha. What part of the spinal cord would need to be torn through in order for it to be possible? So we'll learn later on the details of the number of nerve splits. We have bifurcations, constant bifurcations. Obviously, we have major nerves that are going down to the legs, to the arms, the front legs, and continue on down to the sciatic nerve and so on. All of that we'll see. But the last bifurcation in the spinal cord, after which the cord continues, but it doesn't have a din of a spinal cord like Abe Trefus, is still on the part of the Alia, which would be called a Alia, but it's still below the part that is going to passel the spinal cord. So maybe that's where we cut the Alia. We cut the Alia beneath the last bifurcation of the cord. You can't cut it there because the Torah said, you're supposed to cut it at the point. What's the atzeh? I mean, the simple meaning of the atzeh is the tailbone, the rump. But what it is meramis to is makom shakilayot yoatzot. Remember that we always view that sense that you have in your guts. That's your kidneys. So when somebody says, I feel it in my guts, it means it's just that is where you have your sense of yoatzot. We call that the klayot. And therefore, it means that it has to be cut all the way up there. And that includes the ultimate bifurcation. And therefore, it's going to be possible if you don't check that area. But you can't check that area because you're not allowed to ruin the Aliyah Tmima. Nope, not a good raya. Ah, no, why not? Because Mimai, Dilma de Patachla, Vabadikla. Look, you could still cut it open and check the spinal cord. Now you'll say, but it says Tmima. Tmima just means that it can't be cut into more than, into two pieces. So that would be Hecha de Chatcha Lagamre. But the same thing that we told you about the skull earlier, Hecha de Layet, if that's still attached, you're just pulling things apart and checking. We don't have a problem with that. Leslanba. So, sorry. Heck. All right. Says Rav Sheshes Bereder Ravidi, I got a good one. How about the Egla Rufa? So the Torah says, Ha Arufa, and that remains the way it is. It's still the Egla Ha'arufa, the one that you were Oref, and you have to take that down and leave it there and so on after breaking its neck, and it calls it the same Arufa that always was, which means that you can't be cutting it. So if that is the Ha'arufa, Kishi Shlema Tahave, leave it whole as it initially was. So you can't break it up. It says, and that's the last thing that we do. The Ziknei Ayir come down. The Chol Ziknei Ayir Ahi. Hakrovim. Elach Halal. They are Yir Chatsuya Dehem Al Ha'egla Ha'arufa. That's making it very clear. The very same Egla Arufa that had had its head initially broken, its neck broken. So how do we know that it doesn't have any of the trephas, if we're not allowed to check it? I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, look, an animal whose neck is supposed to be broken and is not brought on the Mizbeach, who the heck cares if it's a trepha? Maybe we don't care if it's a trepha. And therefore, it's not a problem that we cannot check it. So, who cares if it's a trepha? Amri Devei Rabbi Yannai. Rabbi Yannai says, it says in the pasuk, "Kaper le'amcha Yisrael." Kaper means we're comparing it. Kaper means compare, right? So kaper means we're comparing it to all of the karbanos that are coming for kapara, and they are, of course, going to be puzzled with the trefa. So since it calls it kapara like kachim, and kachim are puzzled with trefas, so too the egla rufa is puzzled if it's a trefa. Okay, so there we go. Must be we're relying on the Rov. Rabba Bar of Shila says, I have another very good source. How about the Paraduma? It says in the Torah, shecht it and immediately burn it. V'shachat v'saraf. So what does that teach us? Just like the Shkita is done while the Paraduma is obviously a whole Para, and so to the Sreifa, you can't break it into pieces. The whole thing is burned. How can you do that? Maybe it's a trefa with any of the Yutchas trefas. How are you going to check it? I know what you're going to say. You're going to say the same thing that you would have said by the Egla. You would have said, what do you care if the Paradum is a trefa? After all, it's not brought on the Mizbeach. Where does it say it can't be a trefa? Ah, but it calls it a chatati, right? And therefore, it's giving it the same dinim of the Hakpada, Chatat Kar Yerachmana. And since it calls it a Chatat, it means it has the dinim of a Chatat, and it has to be Roy for the Mizbeach, it cannot be a Trefa. Another beautiful Raya. Rav Acher Bar Yaakov says, I got another great Raya. How about the Soira Mishtaleach? The Soira Mishtaleach, you throw off the mountain, and you're not going to be able to be biting it, as we'll see. And the Torah says, it cannot be a trefa, because it says in a pasuk v'lakachet shnei seirim, both of those seirim need to be shneihem shavim. They need to be precisely the same. Both of them need to be roi for the mizbeach and so on. And then you do your goralot and so on. But if they have to be roi for the mizbeach, then the one that ends up being the tzar mishtaleach that we throw off the har la'azazel, how do we know that it's kosher? Why don't we worry that one of them is a trefa and we can't check it? Now, you're going to say the same thing. What do we care? My naf kamina. If the one that went was thrown off the Lazazel, if it's a trefa, who cares? But we just said they need to be the same. And I'll add one additional piece, which will explain to you why, even if it's the only Azazel that you couldn't check, because Eina Goral Koveil Azazel, Ela B'davar Aroid L'Shem. So even though this one is definitely the Azazel as defined by the Goral, it's not going to be kosher, even if it is the one that ends up throwing off the cliff, it still needs to be non-trefa. So how are you going to check it now? You may say, well, what do you mean? We'll send an expedition down to the bottom of the cliff and we'll check it for trefas. You can't do that because of Atnan. It says, Beferish in the Mishnah in Yoma, Lo ayamagia la marzita harat shenazai varime varim. This thing was so busted up that it's thrown off of a cliff. It ends up being torn limb from limb. And if that's the case, how are you going to check it? Of course, it's going to have trefas. I mean, it was thrown off of a cliff. But how are you going to check it to see whether it was not a trefa before it was ripped up from limb to limb? So you can't check it. So it must be that we're relying on the rove. Rav Mori says, I got a very simple, great raya for you. It says in the Torah that somebody who gives make avi ve'ima, what's the din? You're supposed to kill him. Now, how the heck does he know that this is his father? I mean, that's ridiculous. What are the chances that this is his father? There's good chances, but there's also very solid possibilities that somebody else impregnated his mother, you know, which is often found after they do DNA analysis. The guy finds out, oh my God, I always thought he was my father. And, okay, he's not your father. So why do we have a right to kill someone who was Maka Aviv? Maybe he's not Aviv. V'lechash Dilma Lav Avivu. Must be, because what we say is, even if his mother's been making out with somebody else, most of that sperm that gets into her is going to be coming from the person who's around her, and that is the guy that claims to be his father. So it must be we're relying on that rove. But that is a Ruba Deletik Aman. We're just saying, in general, we believe that Rov Bi'ilot Al-Khrabal. Okay, I mean, it could be, you know, they have a very bad sex life and she's got a great game going with this adulterer. I mean, but we're relying on the Rov. So you see clearly that the Torah allows you to rely on a Rov. Well, how does that prove anything? I mean, maybe his mother and father were locked up in a jail cell and nobody else had any kind of access. And therefore, that's the only case where the Torah says that Maka Aviv is going to be Chayiv Misa. Who's to say that we rely on a rove? So Dilma Kagon Shoy Aviv Imo Chavushim Bebet HaSurim? Come off it, man. What a bunch of naive people. A few Achi Ein Apotropos LaRayos. I don't say, where's the Shamer that's going to tell me nobody got in? Maybe the Shamer got in. That's crazy. There's no possible way that you know that nobody got in. I mean, nobody could stop Arias, Rivka Anama. I got another beautiful raya. Somebody is a murderer, right? Now the Torah says, kill the murderer. But how can you kill the murderer? If the victim was a trefa, then the murderer is not chayev. And how do we know? Even I mean, maybe the guy had killed a person who was a traitor. Must be, because most people are not traitors. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, do a post-mortem on the victim. I mean, how do we have a right to cut up this guy's body? I mean, how come Invo? You can't just stomp cut up a body. Well, maybe, Vichitem, you'll tell me, well, you, in this case, you can, because, I mean, you're trying to, it says, Beferish in the Torah, Vihitzila Ha'ida, right? So the Bezdin is supposed to do whatever it can to save the life of the murderer. So part of the things that it needs to do is to do a post-mortem and see that this guy, oh, he's a treifa. We don't have to kill the murderer. So they will be matzilin. So v'chitem mishum ibud nishamadai, in order to save the life of the murderer. So go ahead and be menavel the body of the poor victim to make sure that he wasn't a treifa. How can you do that? Maybe the place that the bullet went through his lungs was exactly the place where there was a hole in this guy's lungs before he was shot. So how are you going to be sure that he shot a person who actually was not a traitor? No way to know. So you can't just do an autopsy because it's not going to prove anything. And therefore, it must be that we rely that most people are not traitors. Ravina says, I got an even better raya than that. I mean, once you're going into the case of the murder, why not talk about Adim Zomamim, who say that this guy was a murderer? So, Asitem lo kasher zama. But maybe the victim of the false testimony was a treifa, right? Now, we can't do a post-mortem on him because he's alive. So what are you going to do? Now, if these Adim had killed somebody who was a treifa, they'd be a putter. So obviously, if they just were made against him, they're putter. So how can we check the victim of the false testimony so that we'd be able to kill the Adim because he's alive? So, you guys didn't think of that. You were just thinking of the victim of a murder. But here, you really can't do an autopsy on a living person. So what about that? It must be Mishum Damrinan Zil Basaruba. And what are you going to say? You're going to say that, well, let's take a look after he's killed by the Beis Din. He isn't killed by the Beis Din, because if you're going to tell me that we actually killed the person that they were made against, remember, we don't carry out the din of Adim Zomamim if we actually had done what they claimed. That's the crazy din of Adim Zomamim of Kasher Zamam, Velo Kasher Asa. So Vatanya, only if the person was not killed on the basis of their false testimony, then and only then, Vasitim Lo Kasher Zamam. But if the Beis Din had already killed the accused, Hargu, then ain't there again. So since the only time that we would be carrying out the din against the Adim Zomamim is if the victim of the false testimony was still alive, then we have no way to check him. So clearly, there is a din of relying on the rov. Most people are not treifas. Ravashi says, man, you guys are looking very far afield for the din of rov when it comes to all these dinim of shechita and treifa. I got a better raya. How about from the fact that you can shecht? Since the Torah said you have a right to shecht an animal and to eat it. Now, how in the world could you eat it since you have no way to check it for treifas? Because maybe the very place where you did the shechita, there was a hole through the esophagus, and wherever there's a hole through the esophagus, it's a treifa. So how do you know that there wasn't such a hole, huh? Lech Hashemah b'makom nekev kashachi. Why don't we have to be afraid that there was already a treifas there? And therefore, there's no way to check it. El alav mishum de'amrinan zil basa ruba. Since even the smallest hole will make the veshet a treifa. Now, that's not true of the kana. The kana would have to be cut through rov, and that I would be able to detect. But I wouldn't know there's not a tiny hole in the veshet. Must be Mishum Dam. Rina Tzilbasa Ruba. What are you looking all over the world for to bring a raya of Ruba for Dreyfus if the very fact of Shchita is a raya ipso facto? There cannot be a chashash of Dreyfus if you're not able to be Bodek. It doesn't matter because Rove would not have a hole through the esophagus. There you go. Now we do have a handy who has a comment, question, or insight. Which one is it?
I have a question.
Okay.
My question is about the case of Adim Zilman. What relevance the victim being betrayed by him? Because they were just trying to get him executed by baiting. So they should be executed by baiting.
Well, yeah, you were apparently not carefully listening. As I said, if they would have shot the victim, they would be putter for killing him. So Kol Shekein, for being made against him, then they can't be more than actually attempting to kill him physically, and they'd be putter if he was a treifa. So therefore, their aedis that he should be killed is also going to be putter if he's a treifa. Sorry. Right? They weren't made against somebody whose life or death is an absolute life or death. He's already a treifa. Okay, anyway, that's the Gemara's logic. We can discuss that in Makkos when we get back there again, Bezrat Hashem. Omer Avash, you know, I said over this whole discussion and that you can rely on the Shechita and everything, and I said it to Rav Kahana, or some say it was Rav Kahana who said, I said it in front of Rav Shimi, and he pointed out to me, look, this doesn't prove anything, because all that this proves is that where there's no possibility of checking something out and finding out the facts, that then, since you have to continue to function, so the Torah says to function on the basis of rov. But where does that tell you that where it's possible to discover the facts, that you have a right to be Samech on rov? It doesn't tell you that. And you're telling me that the two kids that have been sleeping together and very happy for the past 5 years, that we shouldn't break them up. Why shouldn't we break them up? Because most kids turn out to ultimately mature, right? But why can't we find out? How do you find out? You wait. You wait until you see if they actually do sexually mature, then fine. Then let them go back to sleeping together. But if not, so then that means there was never a chiyuv of yibo. So you're telling me, I want to know, kigon, katan v'ktana. That's what you said. You wanted to know, where do we know about that case? How can you bring a raya from all of these cases, none of which had any option other than simply proceeding on the basis of the statistics, whereas the case of the Katan Viktana have a simple option. It's just a matter of time. So I don't see how you can prove. And look, I mean, let me ask you something. You honestly don't think that there's a difference between the possibility of checking things out and a case where there's not a possibility like that? I mean, what about Ilote Mahi? If you're not going to actually make that distinction. So now, according to Rebbe Meir, how do you understand his ability to eat meat? If Rebbe Meir is chayish lemi'uta, so then that would mean that Rebbe Meir cannot eat meat, right? Because he's chayish lemi'uta. His whole point is that we don't rely on a rov. We always have to be choshish for the mi'ut. And that's why he said that you can't allow the kids to keep sleeping together and you have to wait. So Rebbe Meir actually represents what would happen if we don't have the rov. So how is it that Rebbe Meir ever ate meat? So, hachinami d'locho bisra? I mean, after all, if they shechted the animal, maybe they shechted it where there was a little hole, and he's not going to rely on the fact that there's a rov. So since he does eat meat, so clearly there's a difference to Rebbe Meir if there's an alternative or not. So the same way there's a difference to Rebbe Meir if there's an alternative, there should be a difference to us who do rely on the rov, but maybe that's only where there's no alternative. V'chite machinami. So maybe you'll say, look, you know what? Maybe Rebbe Meir never ate meat. It's part of his chumrah, you know? Well, what about the Korban Pesach? What about the mitzvah to eat kachir? So what are you going to say over there? So Rabbi Meir's going to say, you're not really allowed to eat your Korban Pesach. Ella, obviously, hechad efshar efshar, hechad lo efshar lo efshar. When something is possible, so then maybe that's all he's saying. Don't rely on a rov where you have an option. So we should say the same thing. All of the cases that you bring me are cases where there's no option. I have no way of finding out. So there, okay, ain't a chinami. The Torah says you can rely on a rov. But in terms of the reality, so you do not have any kind of raya that you can rely on a rov if you've got an option. And this is it. Boom, we just gave up. So therefore, as Rashi points out, we are left with exactly what Rav Acha bar Yaakov was left with when it came to chazakah. It's basically halacha l'maaseh miSinai. We're unable to find a definitive proof from it, any of the psukim for it. And the truth is that even though Rashi is troubled by the fact, well, wait a minute, how come we check the lungs of animals after Shechita? If you're telling me that we have, even in a case where it's efshar, we rely on the rov, so even though we can check those lungs, why should we? So Rashi says, because that was a particular, truth is that was a particular takana after the time of the Gemara, and it's because of the fact that as the environment continues to decline and produce more pollutants and so on, the lungs of animals have become progressively less healthy, and therefore you cannot say that it's such a big rove. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, in some places there isn't even a rove. But even the rove that was, there was still a miut hamatsui. There was a very, very common occurrence that a lung would actually have a hole in it. And so because of that, okay, it was a special thing that we do. But hey, says Rashi, psst, don't tell anyone. He actually says that. He says, hey, don't tell anyone. But if anything happened to that lung, it's fine. If you can't check it, you could still eat the animal. But don't tell anyone. At least not in Amoritz. Alon Shali, how can we help you, sir?
Doesn't that go for the whole question of a predictive rove or a non-predictive rove?
Isn't what the whole question?
To say that it's only a matter of efshar. Efshar means we're relying on the rov. That's a move of the lesson of the Kama.
No, efshar means possible to check. Doesn't mean possible to happen. Possible to check.
Right, but not possible to check is a move of the lesson of the Kama. By definition, it's lesson of the Kama.
Right.
So we're throwing out that whole chelik of rov?
No, we're saying it. You can rely on it where you have no other option.
You can't rely on it when you have no.
But if you have an option, then stick to the option.
Okay.
So you could wait for the kids and see if they actually mature or not. So what do you mean? So it's another 5 years to wait. So you wait 5 years.
You wait. Okay. I got it.
And now, Rev Barnea, how can we help you other than by drinking?
That's not what you can do for me. Ask what I can do. Rebbe knows how I strenuously object to calling a nair a candle instead of a lamp.
Yes, I know you strenuously object. What are you objecting to today?
Well, that doesn't hold a candle to today's issue. I'd like to invite Rebbe to go out with a lun who has a four-wheel drive. Once one stands where the Sarla Zazel, the prime candidate where the Sarla Zazel was there, the words of the Mishnah of how he pushes it and it tumbles down, and all these Mishnais, the habit falling in free fall off the cliff, it's this incredible incline with little ridges all the way, as if it was a serrated knife.
What's not called a tilt for nothing, Barnett?
Yeah, yeah. One would never say thrown off the cliff. It's tumbled down, it's pushed down, it tumbles, and it goes bang, 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 right, as on the side, and it would. Until it reaches half the way, you can just see it smashed at the bit.
You know, Barnea.
Incredible thing.
Barnea, he knows after that intro, he was just going to wax on.
Barnea, hey, what happened to the other Naftali? Hey, We had two naftolis just 1 minute ago, and now one of them is off. What's going on? Very sneaky. Very sneaky. First Zoom moves the other N under the big N, right? And then, you know, just to note, and then all of a sudden it just disappears. So what happened, Naftali?
She starts mathematics of
Okay. It didn't look like a very feminine N. I mean, it should at least be, you know, decorated or something.
Yeah, she's trying to hide.
Okay. Yes, now, to answer Barnea's neighborhood question, I will refer him to some incredible videos. I'll have to find them, of actually ducklings that are thrown off a cliff worse than the Sorilazozo, and that bounce up and down 50 times on all of these sharp rocks before they reach the shore where they have to go swimming. And most of them actually survive the fall.
I've seen it, but you have to see this hill. That's what I'm saying. Once you see the hill,
well, I don't know.
It's on the landscape.
All right. So,
okay, I'm free on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Is supporting me.
Wednesday, we go to the Sorilazozo. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's
place in Mitzpeyeriko. Lovely
angle.
See where Amishai came to land. We can go visit the Jordan River. We can make a whole wonderful day of it.
Right. We'll pick up Rebbe 9:30 after Mishnah.
Sounds fabulous.
Great.
We're not that busy as tour guides, to be honest. Lots of time.
Okay. So we're left over here, as I said, closing the daf. We're left with the Halacha LeMeshe MiSinai. And in fact, we only will attempt to do a type of bedikah which should not be required, where we have a very significant minority. And because of that, we've got problems today also with the intestines. And it's a big question of, you know, which shritas do a bedikah on the B'nai Me'ayim of birds and so on. So people are makbid on that as well. Okay, we'll...
In America, right, it's very prevalent, but here that sickness isn't here, as far as I know. That it sudden the lung shrivels up.
I'm not talking about lungs. I just talked about intestines.
Yeah, I am. But when I was learning Shita, we were told that in America, lungs shrivel up, and you have to touch the lungs to see if they're soft each time. But it wasn't an Eretz Yisrael issue.
Oh, gosh. And I ate your Shita. Lord, help us. All right, I will... We'll have to do teshuva. What kind of nonsense? Okay. All righty. And now I think it's time for our special Shmuel Chanina Network. Let me press all the right buttons.